When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you.
We're back. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. Our guest this morning is Pastor Tom Spence, and his title is God's Plan and Daily Details.
All right.
Back
picking to
you.
Up again?
Yes.
All right. Well, I guess you had to wait on me to get back. You know what that means, right? Y'all need to sell more ads.
Don't what?
Neva needs to go sell some more ads.
Oh.
For the break.
Okay. We'll need a longer break around
she'll
here.
She'll know that. Yeah, if there's time available, she's supposed to go sell them some more ads. Okay, we've been talking about God's plan. We kind of know a whole bunch about what God wants us to do. I think everything I brought up, most people say, oh, yeah, I knew that. Don't always want to do it, but I knew that. And, you know, even though we have days when we're burdened, we know Christ tells us, I'll give you rest. Come to me, I'll give you rest. We know that we're supposed to come to him. We're not supposed to take all the burdens on ourselves. We're also supposed to come to him and take on his yoke. And learn from him. He says, my yoke's easy, my burden's light. Come and learn from me. But yeah, we know we're supposed to learn from him. We know that tomorrow is not promised. Eternity is, but tomorrow's not. We get that. It's kind of a little wrestling thing. I love everyone. I'll be with you for eternity, but I got a couple of things I want to do next week too, but tomorrow's not promised, so I better live as full as I can today. We know these things. They're not surprises. We know not to end the day angry. I've been counseled against that. Don't give the devil a foothold. Don't go to sleep angry. You know, it's like, okay, get all that stuff resolved. You might have a late night getting it resolved, but don't go to bed angry. Okay, yeah, I get that. I understand that one actually makes sense. That one comes up a lot in marriage counseling. I'm going to tell you, just, you know, get it figured out. You know, get it reconciled. Don't go to bed angry. Oh, here's one that I know everyone in Burns Flat knows. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Yeah, that one's like one of those that just makes so much sense. Don't be the first one to speak all the time. Take some time to give to others and to listen to them, and don't jump right to anger. Doesn't mean you can't. You'll never be angry. You're going to be angry. You're human, okay? Jesus got angry, turned over some tables, but, you know, it was like he waited 20 years from the last time he was in the temple to do that. So if we can go, you know, 10, 20 years, we could go another 10 or 20 minutes maybe before we got angry. That shouldn't be our first choice. So, but we know that. God, I get that. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. That one's just kind of got that natural teaching element to us. Like, okay, that will fit on a PowerPoint. I can do that one. Mm-hmm. Okay, we know that one. Oh, we know what it is to run the good race, fight the good fight, keep the faith. That's what we're supposed to do, and keep on pressing on towards the goal. All these words of counsel from Paul that say, you know, don't give up. You know, keep on going. There's a meme I like today that says, don't quit, rest. Yeah, we're supposed to rest. We're not supposed to quit, and so that means we can keep on going. We know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's one of those definitions, like, God, I know I got a definition. There's not too many definitions you give in the Bible, but that one you did, and it's like, yeah, I know that one. We also have another definition in the Bible that we all know, if we don't always remember it, but, you know, Jesus said, you want to know what eternal life is? This is eternal life, that you know God and the one he sent, his son. It's not a bunch of days on a calendar. It's a relationship with God, and his son is eternal life. So God, like, there's like two of them, Lord, that are just like definitions in the Bible. I know the definitions. Okay, I want credit on the test for that. You know, I know that part, what you're telling me. We know that in our moment of belief in Jesus, in that moment we pass from death to life. It's not like, okay, when my body's dead, that's when no, we've already passed. Okay, this body's gonna wear out, okay, but we're gonna continue. You know, Jesus told Mary and Martha, before he went to the tomb, you know, I am the resurrection and the life. Even though your body's going to die, you're going to live. Okay, so we get that part. We understand, and that all comes in our moment of profession. When we truly believe, Jesus said, okay, you've passed into life. Okay, so the whole thing with their body wearing out, and it's going to happen, or we get hit by an asteroid, or what, all those things that could end your life. You have a heart attack, and if you watch TV, you could take any medicine because you're like, 2 minutes and 20 seconds worth of side effects and death. So, okay, well, I could take an aspirin and die. Yeah, it's there's so many things, but we will live. We've already been granted life. It's not, I hope Jesus decides I still get eternal life. In that moment, we professed him and received him and believed him. We've passed from death to life, and that's one of those, I think I've given you the theological term for that before. It's cool beans, right? We've already received an eternal life. It's not like we have to wait and see if we're going to get approved. He's pre-approved us. It's cool. It's like being pre-approved at TSA. You know, you still got to do a bunch of stupid stuff with TSA, but that's okay. But Jesus, not with Jesus. He's claimed us. Okay. We know that we are a part of a body of believers, and we each got our own part. It's not like this part's more important than that one, or we start coveting what someone else is doing, or at least we all have a part to play in the body of Christ, and we should accept and embrace, this is my part. Okay, I got it. I understand it. Let me do that part. My part might not be an evangelist. Okay, my part might be service. It seems like I'm always washing dishes. And I see Billy Graham bringing thousands, you know, in a stadium. Well, if you were gifted as an evangelist, that would be your part. But since it's not, wash the dishes, stack the tables, prepare the sanctuary, whatever it is you do, deal with the kids. Okay? I know my part is probably not ministering to the smallest kids that I'm afraid will grab my leg and I'll kick them across the room. Okay, and if you've ever watched any of the videos from Burns Flat, I'm surprised I am still this athletic, because I've jumped over and hurdled a couple kids that were moving different ways when I wasn't looking, and it's like, whew, neither one of us hit the floor. That's kind of amazing. But people have gifts to work with young children and older children, and if that's your gift, if that's your part, if that's what you're supposed to, then do that part and do it the best you can. And don't worry about what that someone else is doing something else. It's like someone has the gift of evangelism, but someone will say, yeah, you got to take their turn in the nursery, though. But it's like, if this is your gift, go live it out. That's your part in the body of Christ. Don't worry mm-hmm. what someone else's part is. Just take yours and run with it. Oh, we know that for us, those who believe, those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose, God will take everything and work it for good. Mm-hmm. It's like all these things going on in the world, God will make them work for good. So all these are kind of broad-minded concepts and some specific stuff. And but when we get down to specifics, it's like, what am I supposed to do? And I'm going to tell you, these that I had jotted down here are just the ones that came to mind walking into my office one day this week. Okay, I walked in 3 days, but on two of those days, Bob Seger and I were singing Against the Wind because those are just the days into the wind. But one day, the wind wasn't blowing so much. So these all came to mind. And I know there's two or three or four or 100 times as many that we already know. Not that we have to go study and learn. We already know what God's told us. And it's like, oh, yeah, I knew that. But yeah, and we know in the broad-minded sense, and some of them are specific, that I kind of know what God wants us to do. But what does he want you to do at 10 o'clock tomorrow? What's on your to-do list for 10? What's on the details of the day at 10 o'clock tomorrow? What are you supposed to do at 7:30 on Wednesday? Okay, that one's easy. You're supposed to be praying because I'll be with the kids at the flagpoles praying. Mm-hmm. So y'all pray at 7:30 on Wednesday. That one's easy. Mm-hmm. Okay, but what am I supposed to do? I mean, and since I'm there, I'll go ahead and put in a plug. So you at the pole is Wednesday, different times at different schools. Support your kids in doing this. Encourage them to come out and pray. We'll be doing it in Burns Flat at both schools. And it's always a good thing, especially that the teachers, administrators want to be there. And I always go to the elementary school because the kids are so excited about it. And sometimes at the high school, some want to come, some don't. There's this whole pressure deal. Should I go? Should I not? But the elementary school, the kids are off the bus. Oh, yeah, we get to go to the flagpole instead of straight to class. Okay, well, I believe their motivation is because they want to pray to God. But they're going to get out there, and we are going to pray to God, and it'll be a good example for them. But see you at the poll this Wednesday. So hopefully we'll get some out there. But, you know, as far as our daily details, am I supposed to get up 30 minutes early and read that devotion or have extra prayer time? You know, I'm really not getting enough sleep. So should I get the sleep? Should I get the rest? Should I get up early? What am I supposed to do? Oh, do we know what God wants us to put on our grocery list? Okay, tacos are always good. Put the stuff for tacos. That's always, but am I supposed to start doing that keto thing or something else? Or what am I supposed to? What goes on the grocery list? What am I supposed to do? Oh, do we know if God wants us to buy that new gun or fishing boat or that extra deer? Well, of course he does. I mean, that's an easy one. Okay, I got to put my plug in for the guys there. Of course he wants that. Yeah, what am I supposed to do? Well, am I supposed to sign up for two or three more school events or sport events this week? You know, how much should I have on my calendar? What am I supposed to do in the daily details? I mean, know what God's telling me about living and all these things. What am I supposed to put on my calendar? What do I put on my to-do list? What am I supposed to do with that kid that's always a total mess? Do I put him in a headlock or give him a hug? Or both? Or alternate? I mean, God, what am I supposed to do? This kid's going to be there every Wednesday. What am I supposed to do with him? I know he's there. I'm glad he's there. But it's like, he needs a headlock. No, he needs a hug. And exactly what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to buy the blue and gold or the Roadhouse Rolls for the fundraiser? I mean, how do I choose? I mean, some of us have limited budgets and can't do all 270 fundraisers per semester. Okay, so we have to pick and choose. And it's always, which one do I do? What should I do? Should I check my Facebook during the hymn I don't like singing or during the sermon? I mean, so some of these are pretty tough decisions right there. Yeah. What do I do? God, I know the big picture. I know what you're telling me. What do I do in the details? How do I live God's plan? I want to live his plan. I want to do it his way. How do I live out those details in my daily life? I mean, what? I know the big picture. And I go back to Jacob and Israel in chapter 48 there. And Joseph, his son, that he thought was dead for a long time, now he realizes he's alive. Everyone's come to Egypt, has put his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, before him. And obviously, Jacob's about to die. So he needs to give blessings. And so he puts Manasseh in front of Jacob's right hand and Ephraim in front of Jacob's left hand because Manasseh's the older. He should get the preferred blessing. In the text, he blesses them both the same. But one of them should have his right hand on there. But Jacob, Israel, crosses his hands over and does it the other way. And Joseph's like, the old man can't see. He's getting upset with him. He's not supposed to be this way. But Israel says, no, it is supposed to be this way. And we don't know how. We know that Jacob, Israel, talked to God a bunch. He told him, don't be worried about going to Egypt. Your people come back to the promised land. It's okay that you leave for now and do all these things. And for right now, it'll save everyone's life. And we get all those things. And we know Jacob saw the angels ascending and descending. But we don't have, how did he know this? And it's just, I think, in the continual conversations with God, in the continual receiving of his word, of his directions, accepting what he's telling us to do, embracing what he's telling us to do, sometimes the details just fall out. We have no idea how he knew. He just said, it's this one over that one, and said, Ephraim will be the greater. And if you have read your Bibles beyond Genesis into Exodus and beyond with the Torah and everything else, you say, well, how was Ephraim greater than Manasseh? And it's like, I don't know. It doesn't say anything. It's like, I don't know. Except that maybe Ephraim was a little more sinful. Maybe through Ephraim we got to see more grace. Maybe we got to see more vulnerability. We got to see that God welcomed people home even after they were sinful. So maybe that was their greatness. I don't know. Can't say that. Ephraim was a tribe, but it was also generally referred to as part of the northern kingdom. So talking about Ephraim could be that one tribe that came from this young man, they're both probably in their 20s, or it could be the northern kingdom after Solomon. We don't know. But could it be that the greatness was not so much you're going to win all these battles? Now, Ephraim did contribute to some battles along the way. There's plenty of fighting still to come, don't worry. And there'll be, I'm sure, a lot of medals given out in battles and stuff. But is that, what's Ephraim's greatness? We don't know. But perhaps it was to reveal our human frailty. That we like to beat our chest, but we also mess some stuff up. So it's hard to say. How would you like God to tell you, oh, your mission for 10 o'clock tomorrow is to reveal your human frailty and how God welcomed you home from your transgressions? You're like, I'd rather put, can I buy the taco stuff instead? I mean, it's like sometimes the daily details just fall into place before us, and I'm supposed to go talk to that person who's struggling and say, oh, man, I had some trials, I had some temptation, I had some transgression, but guess who welcomed me home? Mm-hmm. God welcomed me home. Maybe that's what we're supposed to do in the day. It's like God didn't send me a to-do list. Now, we're human. We would like it in a text or an email, I'm sure. Probably not going to get it that way. And we'd also like the authority to edit the stuff out we don't want to do. But, you know, that's our human nature. But keep checking your inbox anyway, just in case you get it that way. It's probably not going to come out that way. It's probably going to be someone standing in front of you and it's like, oh, boy, do they need to hear my testimony? Do they need to hear, not that I'm a Christian with a smile on my face all the time. Now, they need to hear when I was really broken and who brought me home, okay? Maybe that's what I'm supposed to do at 2:45 on Thursday, talk to that person. Maybe that's what I'm supposed to do in Walmart while I'm standing there and this kid's about to drive me crazy, asking his mom for everything. And mom is like, what do I do? It's like, well, what I do is I usually give him a little wristband that says, God loves you, love one another. And that helps for a while, and I get to talk to mom. But maybe the day just unfolds as it's supposed to, and we know what to do because everything else we've been listening to that God told us to do. And then we need to understand, as we do God's will, as we follow his plan, we're all headed the same way, but we're not all on the same path. God's given us different things, different routes, different people to cross our paths. And it's not like I have to know exactly what I'm going to do tomorrow at 11:30 to do God's will, to be in step with his plan. I just need to be receptive. I need to recognize, hopefully I covered all these things that just came to mind and I got them written down after my walk in and realized y'all probably had 200 I left out. So he didn't say that. But I knew to do that. We knew to do that. We knew this. We know a whole bunch. Mm-hmm. We know a whole bunch. And I think if we recognize the fact, God, I have been listening to you. I do know to do that. Hadn't always done it, but I know to do it. When the day unfolds, I say, okay, that person's there for a reason. I'm figuring out what the reason is. Maybe it's just to share with them that God will welcome you home. Maybe it's to be the one who speaks the truth in love and says, I'm going to say some things that no one wants to tell you. I don't want to tell you, but God said, if I'm going to love you, I got to tell you this. And you know, if you're dealing with people, dealing with addiction, they're dealing with problems, you have money problems, you can't. It's like, okay, can we sit down and talk? I don't want to judge you. I want to maybe show you a way that might be better. people don't want to have those hard conversations. But what if your plan for today was have that conversation with that person, keep a spirit of love the whole time? That's your job. That's your 1045. Okay, that's what's on the list for today. Okay, let me explain this in terms of football. It's football season. Okay, at least except in Stillwater, they didn't get the memo that the season has already started. Oh, man. It's tough being a Cowboy graduating from Oklahoma State and knowing that every few years they're just going to have one of those years and get beat by a high school team or something, and then, you know, hard to recover from it. But football's a game of X's and O's. You draw them up on the chalkboard, X's and O's. Now they're on a whiteboard. I don't like whiteboards because if the players aren't paying attention, you can't take your nails and scrape them across the whiteboard and get their attention. You can do that with – some of you are getting chills right now. I love that. But it's X's and O's and arrows and stuff, and you know, the O goes and blocks this X, and then this guy pulls this way, and hopefully it influences this player, and the runner goes through the number three hole, and that's how you draw it up. Never works out that way. Okay, life happens on the football field just like it does anywhere else. And some people just need to follow the arrow. I go from here to here and block that person, whether they're there or not. That's what I'm going to do. I need my thou shouts and my thou shalt nots, and I don't want any wiggle room. I just need to go there. Other people will say, okay, that's where the arrow goes, but there's no one there. I know the runner's going to my left, so I'm going to block someone and push them to my right so there's more room to my left. And say, I understand that. And sometimes you're supposed to go to the number three hole, but you get the ball and you get there and it's a little bit crowded. Mm-hmm. And so you got to go somewhere else. And it's called broken field running. And I'm going to use as my example of broken field running a man named Barry Sanders. Long ago, he graduated, played football and graduated Oklahoma State after I had already gone. But I was serving up in Des Moines, Iowa, training Marine Reservists. And a friend of mine was up at Iowa State University. And he was a Marine officer instructor. He called me up one day and said, hey, Tom, my wife's pregnant. I said, well, congratulations. Okay, thanks for letting me know. And he said, that's not why I'm calling you. You can use your ticket. And Oklahoma State's coming up to play football. And you can watch Barry Sanders. Yeah, hey, I could be up there. And I went up there and I watched the game. It was a real close game till right before the first half. Oklahoma State was all the way back at their own 20. And just watching it like it was just scripted. The quarterback pitched the ball out to the left. Barry Sanders caught it. There was Barry, and there was a defender, and then there was all this open space. And the next time I looked, there was a defender, and Barry was on his other side of him. And said, how did he get there? You can't draw that on. It was like he stepped left and right and juked and did this, and he made like four moves in 3 seconds, and he was on the other side, and he just ran to the goal line. How did he do that? You can't draw that up. You can't script that. You can't – it just – broken field running. And there was Barry Sanders. Now, I've seen Joe Washington do the same thing, but since – in Oklahoma State, I'm going to be living in the past this year. I'm going to use a Barry Sanders example. Okay, but sometimes it just, you know, you can't draw it up. You can't script it out. Barry knew his job when he got the ball was to get the team closer to the goal line than when they started. Sometimes he got them all the way there all at once. Sometimes he'd run 80 yards for a 20-yard gain, just all over the place. No one could catch him, you know, for 80 yards, but he'd just move down the field 20. It's like, okay, some people understand that I'm supposed to live out my life by what God's told me to do. And the details might be a lot of juking and jiving and all this broken field running to get me where I got to go. I might have to run 80 yards to gain 20. It's like, and that's okay. And that's okay. God, I know what you're telling me to do. You don't have to send me a daily to-do list. Okay, I'm one of those guys that gets, I like to do a little broken field running to get out there and say, okay, God, you're trusting me that I haven't been listening. And so when the day is set before me, it's like, I see where to go. Okay, I don't have to write it down. I don't have to write this written plan. It's God's plan. I need a written plan. No, I don't. Sometimes it's nice to have a plan. Planning's good. It's not a bad thing. James would say, don't get married to your plan. You know, planning's a good mental exercise. It's good for mental acuity. It makes us think, helps us think, which is kind of a bad word in this century, I know. But we are supposed to be thinkers and do that. But when God says, let's do it this way, so, okay, abandon your plan and go with his. It's like, okay, I'll take your plan. God set this before. I thought I was going to be buying stuff for tacos, but instead I'm going to be talking to this person over here that needs a little compassion, gentleness, understanding that, yes, God will welcome you home. Maybe you talk parable of the lost son with them or something. Say, yeah, God's going to welcome you home. You think you're lost, but he will still welcome. Maybe that's what I'm supposed to do, you know, at 4:30, you know, on a Friday. I don't know. Hopefully that's in the evening. I have talked to people at 4:30 in the morning. But, you know, understand that your efforts to seek God, His kingdom, His righteousness, to do all these things and move towards Him have prepared us for whatever the details of the day are. And it's not like, man, God didn't tell me what I'm doing at 10 o'clock tomorrow. Yeah, He's already told you. You just go live in the moment, okay? Have eyes to see, and you'll be surprised at the opportunities that He puts before us. And we go out and say, there's my chance to be loved. There's my chance to show compassion. There's my chance to show generosity. There's my chance to give my testimony about how big a God we have, how great His grace is, and how wonderful it is to come home, even after whatever it is I did. Okay, and we've all fallen short, right? We understand that, and we have a testimony to give with that. So I would say, don't worry about your to-do list for tomorrow. Okay, now if you got to get the air conditioner fixed and it's July, you probably ought to get that done. Okay, but you know, what does God want me to do to live according to His plan? He's already telling us. Every time that we seek Him in prayer, every time that we seek Him in His Word, every time that we seek Him in saying, I'm going out to do this ministry or whatever, He's putting something before us. It's not, I wonder if I can get through this thing without being noticed. No, just go out and do the things that God set before you that you already know to do. And like I said, I had this pretty long list of stuff that we already know. Mm-hmm. But in reality, it's a pretty short list of what we know in full. I mean, it's like God keeps telling us. We keep listening. We are growing in His grace. Believe it or not, we're getting a little more mature as Christians. Okay, we don't always get it all right. But we are ready for the details of the day. We're ready. And there's a Proverbs 16:13. I like to tie into this. It says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. It's got a rhythm to it. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. No, I'm not going to rap on here. Okay. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. It's got that rhythm to it, and it's kind of like, I've already been listening. All I got to do is commit. God, this is going to be your day. I'm all in today, Lord. Whatever you set before me, I'm ready. And then the details of the day, they just fall into place. Mm-hmm. They will fall into place without a to-do list, without a detailed printed plan, triplicate copies, you know, copy to everybody. No, we're already ready. God's made us ready to go out and do, because you've been telling us all along. And guess what? Some of y'all have been listening. Mm-hmm. You've been listening, and you've been internalizing, and you're ready to do it. And so we can commit to the Lord whatever we do. He will establish our plans. I think I'll stop talking right there. Amen.
Amen. That's good stuff. I thought you grabbed your microphone. It makes me think of, I don't know where the address for it, but where it says, be ready in season and out of season. That's the verse.
Preach the word in season and out of season. Yeah.
So,
I think that's Paul to Timothy.
Very good word today.
And you wrote all that down, all those things we already know? Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I just saw you going, check. Got it. We do have
they're,
it.
They're
we
written
do.
On my heart.
All right. Well, that's where it's supposed to be.
Hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's one of my favorites, too. And it does amaze me, because sometimes after I've spent time in the word, I'm like, do I even remember what I read? But when I need it, it's there. Yep. The Holy Spirit is so faithful to bring it back to our memory when
it's
we need it.
As if it was living and active.
Yeah.
Yeah, who'd have thunk it?
So awesome. We sure enjoy having you come share with us.
It's always fun when I come in, and I got to see y'all reverse today. And,
yes.
And see how it all worked. And it's Monday, and all the electronics worked. And
they did.
And so we started with blessings.
Yes. You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and Pastor Tom Spence, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app, where you'll find The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.